destitute of daily food. And one of you says to him, depart in peace. Be warmed and filled. But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So, shall I continue? Okay. Verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. It's not a separate thing. I'll show you my faith by the works that I'm doing. Because when you look at what faith means, in the Greek, it's effectively saying, if you have faith in God, it's the same as saying, you believe God. And if you believe God, what are you going to do? You're going to obey Him. That's what it means to have faith. And to obey Him means you have works. So let's pick that up again in verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith, your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? It leads nowhere. It gains you nothing. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Again, the faith is believing God and doing what He's told us to do. He told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac. He believed God and he obeyed God and he carried out those works. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. And you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. You and I have had our minds opened up. We can see this very clearly right here. It's not by faith alone. We've been given that blessing to understand this. That to have faith in God means we believe Him. We understand Him when He says, you need to obey me. You need to follow my commandments. You need to live by my ways. That is how you show me your faith. That is how you show me you believe me. That is how you show me the choice that you're making. It's not enough to have faith, to believe in God. We have to act on that belief. And we have to obey God by our works. The Bible presents very clear evidence that our works do matter because they have to accompany our faith. To please God, you cannot have one without the other. As yet another indication how important works are. The Bible tells us that we are expected to have good works. See, the Bible takes this a step further. Here's the question to consider. If works don't matter in how God judges us, then why does the Bible show that we are expected to have good works as we learn more about God's ways? And we can see this in a number of different places. It's not just pulling a scripture out here. This is something that, again, is consistent throughout the pages of the Bible. And we see it in a number of places. Again, let's look at a few examples. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Paul writes here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We're prepared for good works. We're to take action. We're to walk in that path, to choose that direction, because that's what God expects from us. Paul writes again in his epistle to Titus. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. What does Paul write here? Titus 3, 8. "This is a faithful saying." In other words, you can believe this. You can trust this is true. Titus 3, 8. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God," i.e. who have faith in God, "those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." Let's drop down to Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 20 and 21. What do we see here in Hebrews? Chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will." It's not just an issue of faith. It's something we need to act on. We need to do. "To make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." To the Colossians, he said, "May you walk worthy of the Lord." And in 2 Timothy, he said that the man of God, talking about how all scripture was inspired by God, God breathed. Why? "That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So knowing that works are important in our lives, we ask ourselves the question, are the works that I'm doing leading me to eternal life? Or are they dead works? Because as we saw there in Hebrews, we're to repent from the dead works that we have in our lives. So how do we identify dead works? Well, in order to be able to identify them, we want to know, where can we find them? So we can see examples, and we look at them and think, wait, is that something I'm doing? Is that part of my life? Where do I find dead works? Well, obviously, I don't think we're going to get any disagreement. When we look at the society around us, it is filled to the brim and overflowing, filled with dead works. The society has not only ignored God's laws, but it has actively rejected them and is moving away from them. So clearly dead works. So yeah, that's easy to see. But there are also works that we can see in society around us that on the surface, maybe they appear to be good works. They seem to be helpful to others, maybe even beneficial. But God still calls them dead works. Why is that? Well, let's look at some examples of some of the places where we can see things that perhaps may, on the surface, look like good works. But when we view them as God views them, we realize, no, those aren't good works. Those are dead works. Think about those who profess to know God. And there are plenty who do sincerely profess that they know God and they're trying to live by His ways. But when you look at their actions, what do we see? Their actions demonstrate that they're actually serving themselves, not God. Their lives are filled with works, but they're dead works. Look what Paul wrote to Titus. In Titus chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16. What did Paul write here in Titus 1, verses 15 and 16? To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works, they deny Him. Being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. So even though they profess to know God, even though they say, oh, God is great, God is good, by their actions, they're actually self-serving, and they've been disqualified for every good work, which means that the works that they are doing are dead works. Good works require more than just professing God's name. Another example where we can find dead works that might appear like they're good works. And that's among those who are claiming to be acting in God's name. They sincerely believe that they're serving God. They're performing good works in the name of Jesus Christ. We're feeding the poor. We're helping and clothing the hungry. We're doing this. We're doing that. And we're all doing it by the name of Jesus Christ. So why would these works be considered as dead works and not good works? Because those works are not based in God's law. So God considers them to be dead works. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23. What does Jesus say here about those types of works? Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Their works were not based in God's law. It may sound like it. It may look like it. But Jesus said, you're practicing lawlessness. You're not obeying God. You're not doing the work according to His will. And so we have the challenge to learn to change our viewpoint, to start looking at things from God's perspective. Because there are a lot of things in this world that are going on which, on the surface, they look like good works. But they're not. They're not based in God's law. And in fact, a lot of them are designed to point people away from keeping God's law, from denying His word and the truth that He's shown us from the Bible. And because they're not based in God's law, because they turn people away from God, they are dead works. Now let's get just a little closer to home now. As we look to see where we might be finding dead works, even within God's church, we find dead works. There are some who are in the church of God, going by the name of the living God, but their works are not in keeping with being called by the name of the living God. That indicates that their works are dead works and that they need to change. Consider the letter to the church of Sardis in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 1 through 2. 1 and 2 in Revelation chapter 3. What do we see recorded here? Revelation 3, verses 1 and 2. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works. That you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. So yes, even within the church of God, we need to make careful examination of our lives so that what we're doing are good works, living works, not dead works. So having seen some of the places where we can see examples of dead works and whether we can see those examples for ourselves, how do we personally deal with dead works? We know we need to repent from our own dead works. It's a clear, elementary principle of Christianity brought out there in Hebrews 6. Repentance from dead works. That's the beginning. We know we need to change to become more like God. Remember what He recorded in Isaiah. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. That means we need to change so that we can become more like God. And face it, you know, sometimes knowing the magnitude of the changes that we need to make to repent from our own dead works, I mean, it's easy to look around and say, oh yeah, those people are bad. They need to change. But when it comes to looking at our own lives personally, that can be overwhelming, can't it? And all of a sudden, it's been revealed to us, oh, I need to change that. It can be overwhelming. Maybe even discouraging sometimes. But we don't need to be overwhelmed. We don't need to be discouraged. Because God is here with us. He hasn't called us just so he can see how quickly we can fail. No, that's not what he's doing with us. He's here to guide us, to strengthen us, to show us what needs to be changed, and then to say, come to me, rely on me, I will give you the strength to overcome these dead works. But it's a choice that each and every one of us has to make, to work with God to do that. Because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, we have the opportunity to recognize the dead works that we can find in our own lives. And once we recognize those, that helps to guide us onto the path of serving God, of doing good works, of carrying out His will. Look what we find written here in Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. He's alluding back here to the atonement ceremony. But what we see here in Hebrews 9, verses 13 and 14, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, to cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. This is something that Jesus Christ has done for us through his sacrifice to help us recognize the dead works that we have, to help cleanse those from our lives so that we can fully, wholeheartedly serve the living God. So how does God help us recognize our own dead works? Again, like I said earlier, it's easy to look out elsewhere. But when we look inward, how do we recognize the dead works that we have? So when we consider our thoughts, our words, our actions, there are some questions that we can ask ourselves. As we examine ourselves and evaluate our lives, as we compare it to the standard that was set by Jesus Christ. When we find ourselves thinking or speaking or doing, we ask ourselves the question, do our works serve God? Because you see, dead works very frequently are self-serving. They don't serve God. They don't serve the family of God. And yet that's what we're being called to do. Look what Paul wrote in his first epistle to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 17 through 19. Paul writes here in 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." No matter how rich we are, no matter how poor we are, as we have been called into God's church, as we've been called into His family, how willing are we to serve by our actions, to serve God, and to serve His family? Because we start now. Because this is something that we will be doing for all of eternity. That will not go away. Do our works serve God? We ask ourselves that question. Another question that we can ask ourselves is, do our works bring glory to God? See, our works shouldn't shine a light on ourselves, nor should they give others cause to disparage God's name. Oh, he calls himself a Christian, but look what he's doing. Look what he's saying. No, our works should bring glory to God. And eventually, because people do notice, eventually, others will glorify God because of the example that we are living now. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. What does Peter write here about our works and what we are doing? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." They may not do that today. As a matter of fact, we may get attacked if we're trying to live God's ways. But eventually, Jesus Christ returns, and people can start to see, oh yeah, I remember what you were doing, the works that you did. And they will then glorify God. And we look to Jesus as our example for this. Everything he did pointed back to the Father and glorified his name. He didn't shine a light on himself. He didn't say, look at the good work I'm doing. It all pointed back to the Father. Couple more questions we can ask ourselves. Are our works founded in keeping God's law? Because you see, good works are completely based in God's law. They demonstrate love for God. They demonstrate love for our fellow humans. Regardless of how beneficial a work might seem, as I stated before, any work not based in God's law or that leads people away from obeying God's law is a dead work. And we want to make sure that the things that we are doing do not fall in that category. And finally here, one more question we can ask ourselves. Are the works I'm doing, are they works that are being done without love? Because see, good works are based in the love of God's way of life. The love of His Word, His truth. But this love is missing in dead works. Consider the letter to the church at Ephesus. We'll look at that in Revelation chapter 2 and verses 2 through 5. What does he write to the church at Ephesus? I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you've tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent. Repent from what? Dead works. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Are our works still based in the love of God's truth and the desire to live by His ways? As David wrote, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Do we still have that zeal that we gained when first hearing about God's way of life? And for many of us, that's been decades. That's been a long time ago. But do we still have that zeal? Do we still have that love of trying to live God's way of life? Or instead, do we find ourselves in a situation where we still do the works out of habit or perhaps obligation? Because, well, you know, that's what we need to be doing. But are we doing it with our whole heart? Are we giving ourselves completely over to God? Dead works are those things that we do that do not reflect the love of God's law and the desire to serve Him fully and wholeheartedly. One of the challenges that we face, every one of us, that we face, is to identify any dead works that we may still have. But God will help us to identify those works when we ask for His guidance. And when we do discover dead works in our own lives, we can go to God and ask Him to help us repent of those dead works so that we can change. And we can be one step closer to being like our Father and our older brother, Jesus Christ. Understanding the importance of works with our faith and identifying what dead works are still present in our own lives is the first step to repentance from dead works and reaching forward to the kingdom of God. Next time, we'll cover the other part of this instruction. And we'll take a closer look at what the Bible means, but it instructs us that we need to repent.